Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Chet. This is the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Keshechonad Yosi ben Kisma, Holoch Reb Chanina ben Tarjoin Levatre. When Reb Yosi ben Kisma was sick, Reb Chanina ben Tarjoin went to visit him. Amalo. So Reb Yosi said to Reb Chanina, Chanina Achi, my beloved Chanina, Yata Yodaya Shu'um Zu. Do you not know that this nation that's ruling over us at the moment, the Romans, Umazu, min ha-shamayim hamlichu she-achiv es beisoi v'sof es acholoi, that they have been put to rule over us by shamayim? That they've destroyed the house, the Beis HaMikdash, v'sof es acholoi, and they have burnt the Beis HaMikdash, v'horges chasidov, they have murdered all the righteous ones. Of this tuva of a daim he kayemis, and they're still around. Have you not noticed? Vani shemati alecha, and I've heard about you. Shati yeshiv oisek b'teira, that you're busy being oisek b'teira. Umakil kihilois b'rabim, and that you've opened up yeshivas, you've opened up public learning spaces. V'sefer munach lecha b'cheikoch, and you're sitting with the sefer Torah open on your lap. And you're teaching Torah to the masses. And there's a gzeira, the Romans were gzeira, that you get burnt alive if you do that. So Amalo, Reb Chanina said to Reb Yosi, Min ha-shamayim yarachamu. Hashem yazor. Standard response to any problems today. Hashem yazor. From shamayim, they'll have rachamim on me. Amalo, Reb Yosi said back to him, Ani oimel lecha dvorim shel tam. I'm saying sporadic logical things to you. When you're saying to me, Hashem Yazor, have you lost your mind? I'm telling you things that are logical, sporadic. I'm giving you proper eitzah, and you're telling me, no, Min Hashemayim Yerachem. Tama Aniim Lo Yisor for Eischa veSefer Torah Ba'esh. It wouldn't surprise me if I'll take you and your Sefer Torah out and burn you. Answers Reb Chanina, Amaloi, Rebbe, Ma ani lechay olam haba? What schus, what right do I have for olam haba? What am I going to do in olam haba? How am I going to get into olam haba? Amaloi, so he said to him, Klumai sevo leyotcha? Did nothing, have you never done anything with your life? Tell me something that you did with your life, and I'll tell you some schus that you have to go to olam haba. Amalai, they said to him, Mol shel purim nischalfui liba mol shel stocker. I once had money for stocker, and I had money for my purim suda, and they got mixed up, and I didn't know which was which. V'chalkaltem loyanim, and I distributed the whole lot to anim, and I forgoed my purim suda. Amalo, im kain, if so, if you did such a major thing, Alavai, my portion should be your portion and my lot should be with your lot. Alavai, I'll have your schuz. Lohay imami mootim, wasn't long before. Achlifter v'yaisi ben kisma v'alcho kol gadeli reymi l'kavroi l'aspidoi hespid godu. Reb Yosi was nifter and all the great leaders of Rome came to be maspidim. They came to do the levaya for him. Ubechazerosa motzer el bechinen ben tradyon shayeshi vayisik b'toyra makil kilus b'rabbi v'sefer Torah munach loy b'chaykoy. On the way back, the founder of Yosi had opened up another yeshiva and he was teaching Torah, and he had the sefer Torah by him and he was teaching. So we all know what happened. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon was one of the osarug malchus. They took him out and they burnt him. They wrapped the sefer Torah around him. They put wet cotton wool over his heart so that the death would be prolonged. And they killed him. They killed him. Burnt him to death. There was when the Talmidim said, what do you see? And he said, the paper, the cloth's burning, but the letters are flying off. The letters are being... the letters that say the Torah itself is not being burnt. Only the cloth. There's a couple of major questions in this Gemara, which the answers to are very enlightening and very nagaya b'zman hazeh. First question is what was the machlekes Reb Yosi and Reb Chanina when you should be teaching Torah or not? Rav Chanina obviously held you should be teaching Torah. That's the kind of nefashos. That's question number one. What is the machleikus? Question number two is, Rav Chanina asks Rav Yossi, what schusko I have to get into Olam Haba? What are you talking about? You're prepared to give up your life, you're prepared to be burnt alive, you're teaching Torah to the whole of the Rabbi, you're keeping Klal Yisrael alive. What do you mean, what schus do you have to get into Olam Haba? You have a greater schus than that? We know Chazal tell us that the place in Shemayim where the Asa Aruga Malchus stand, no one can ever get there. The highest schus that anybody can ever attain, they attain. So what's he asking? What schus do I have Olam Haba? And then the answer is, he has some money from Stocken, he had a bit of money from his Purim Surah, he had 20 shekels in this pocket, and 20 shekels in this pocket, and they got mixed up, so he, instead of eating Sofek Zayla Me'anim, he gave it all to Stocken. That's a very nice thing to do, but that compares to being prepared to give up your life and to burn to death. And on that, Rabbi Yeh's not impressed with the fact that he's teaching Torah and he's opening yeshivas and he's going against the Romans and sacrificing his life and getting it burned to death. That doesn't impress Rabbi Yossi. Suddenly, ha, you didn't give the money, you didn't take your Purim Surah money. That you did. Wow, halavai, I can have your chalek. What was wrong with having the chalek and he was prepared to give up his life? He was prepared to give up his life. What's going on here? The other kashas here as well that need to be dealt with, I don't know if we'll have time for them. If we have, we'll come back. I don't want to go over time, so just deal with this, the main issues here. In order to come to the questions, we just have to understand where we're standing historically. When did the mace of the Aruga Malchus take place? So we know that the Romans had conquered Klal Yisrael, they conquered Jerusalem, they surrounded Jerusalem, they surrounded the walls of Jerusalem. Inside, they didn't actually do quite well. They had enough food to survive for 20 years. The three gvirim of the city had set aside enough food, oil, and wood, and whatever to survive for over 20 years. And the Gedolim, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, held that they should try and find some accommodation with the Romans. That we shouldn't go to war against the Romans. We should find an accommodation. We should live in peace with them. And they had time to negotiate because there was enough food and whatever to handle this exile for over 20 years. They had time to negotiate a deal. There was a group called the Biryonim who felt no. You've got to go fight. You've got to go out and you've got to fight. There's a war to be fought. You've got to go fight a war. But as long as they didn't have enough food and a roof over their head and they weren't desperate, there was no way they were going to get them to fight. So they went and they burnt the storehouses. They destroyed the storehouses and plunged the Jewish people into one of the worst chobonas we ever have. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai managed to smuggle himself out of the Biryani. He wouldn't let anybody go out because they didn't want anyone to go and start negotiating peace with the Romans. He managed to smuggle himself out. It's a famous story. You've all heard about it. Sent out messages that he was ill, and eventually they sent out messages that he died. The Biryonim would let people be buried outside the city, so they schlepped his coffin outside and they buried him outside. And meanwhile, he went to meet Andraginos, no? Aspianus, who was just about to become the emperor of Rome. And that's the famous meeting that happened between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked, Ten liyavne v'chachmeya. He asked for three things. What concerns us is ten liyavne v'chachmeya. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understood Klal Yisrael was finished. He couldn't ask for Yerushalayim, he wouldn't have got it. But he had to ensure the future survival of the Jewish people, so he asked ten liyavne v'chachmeya. And he agreed and he said, fine. Chachma, the Yavne you can have. You can have an Ushib in Yavne, a bunch of old people sitting and learning Torah, doesn't disturb us. And we've destroyed the Jewish people, there's nothing left of the Jewish people. In a few years, your old people sitting in Yavne will eventually die. And there'll be nothing left to the Jewish people, and I'll have conquered the world, and that's what we really wanted, yeah? What happened many years later, in the era we're discussing now, is the Romans suddenly realized that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had actually won the war. He'd actually beaten the Romans. By asking for Yavne, that had kept Klal Yisrael alive. Ad kedei kach, that they had to start making gzeiras, you can't learn Torah anymore, anyone learning Torah is going to get killed. Not only were the Yidden revitalized and rejuvenated and back on their feet, and the Jewish message in the world was back on its feet, but the Goyim had started converting. We know there are many, many stories of great Roman leaders and great Roman aristocracy that converted to Judaism because they saw the Kedushas of Torah, they saw the MS of Torah, and they saw that it was what was going on, and they converted. And the Romans, realizing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had actually beaten them, he'd actually tricked them and beaten them, went on a full-scale war to destroy any remnants left of Torah. And that's how Dafka the war was against the Torah. They didn't go out just killing any Yidden. They understood a Yid without Torah is no threat to us. We'll get him later. But as long as there's one Yid sitting learning Torah, tell Yavne v'chachmei, as long as Yavne exists, so then we've lost the war. And they went out and they had this milchama that was going around killing every last remnant. Anybody caught learning Torah was killed. They're not just killed, burnt publicly, so people would be shamed, people would know it, and there wouldn't be anything left to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yossi held in Achinami there's a Gzeru Shmadia. In Achinami there's a Gzeru Shmadia, Gzeru Shmadia is Yarav Val Yavo, even though normally we only say Yarav Val Yavo about the three Shrich Azom, Gila Arayis, and Avodah Zorah. But yeah, there's a Gzeru Shmad. They come to Mamash, be Oika Kola Torah. He tells Jews to stop learning Torah. That's a Shmad. There's nothing left of Klal Yisrael. He told me to stop putting on tefillin. Is that it? So I have to give my life to stop putting on tefillin. Klal Yisrael's existence is not tolerant on tefillin. It's an important limb, but it's not the Ikka. But you tell him to stop learning Torah, there's nothing left. That's the greatest Shmad there is. Rabbi Yossi held, by the way, what I'm saying now is based on Michtovim from the Chevron Rosh Hashiva of Moshe Mordechai Epstein, which is brought down in the Shkach Tzaron. I found it after 16 years, I'm trying to find it. In a sefer called the Levush Mordechai, which is his Pirush on Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. This is in the Psiche to Baba Metzia, with 29 pages of amazing, amazing, amazing stuff, looking at the world and learning Agadita the way a Litvish Rosh Hashiva learned the Shtikel Agadita. So he says like this, the Machlekes was this. Rabbi Yossi held that only applies in a Kumva Asa. If I tell you to do something, yeah, that you're not allowed to do, and the Gemara says, I tell you to tie your shoelaces, the left foot first, or change the color of the shoelaces, or break some minad when it's there, shmad. A Kumva Asa, you're not allowed to do, you have to take your life. But in a Sheval Taisa, it's a big chiddish this, but in a Sheval Taisa, you don't have to give your life for that. You don't have to give your life. And Reb Chanina held that yes, even in a Shevel Taisa, a person has to give his life. And not only that, but it's not enough to just sit and learn anymore. It wasn't enough to just go into a quiet corner and learn. He had to be Makalis Kilos. He had to gather around the masses. He had to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. And not only that, he had to do it openly. Why does the Gemara keep telling us he sat with a Sefer Torah on his lap? Do I care if he had a Sefer Torah on his lap, or it was on his shtender, or he didn't have a Sefer Torah, he was teaching Torah himself? What do I care? What's going to keep referring to the Sefer Torah was on his lap? I mean, when the Yidden by Hanukkah, by the Yidden by the Greeks, what did they do when they wanted to learn Torah? They used to go into the caves. When somebody used to come in, they used to quickly hide the Svarim away, and they used to pretend they were playing dreidel. That's why we play dreidel. So one of the reasons we play dreidel, because that's what they did, they covered it up. Rabbi Chinen held, no, he's going into the public squares, and he's sitting with the Sefer Torah on his lap, and he's teaching Torah. Ad kedei mesiras nefesh. Rabbi Chanina had another chashash though. That I'm going to give up my life of pialocha. I'm 100% convinced that that's the halacha, and I'm paskin like that, and I'm going to carry on like that. But what about the Sefer Torah? What right do I have that a Sefer Torah should be burnt? We don't have the sensitivity for this. I'm going to get killed, and the Sefer Torah will get burnt. Like, what's more important? But to a Yid who lived with Torah, who was a Sefer Torah, understood the Kedusha of what a Sefer Torah is, the Neshama of a Sefer Torah, in Achinami, I have this chuk, I have this halacha that you have to go out there and teach Torah, and you have to, and I'll get killed and I'll be burnt alive, etc. But who gives you the right to destroy the Sefer Torah? Maybe the whole reason why I'm doing this is because of a shtick covered. The Chachomim understood that what motivates most of us is a thing called Negiyas. Negiyas ishi. You're going to get up and you're going to give your life, even ad kadei kach mesiras nefesh. Maybe I have some kind of negia. Maybe this whole act of mesiras nefesh and whatever, and this whole on me, could be a tzmuta. I'm allowed to do it. I hold up the halacha, you have to give your life, whether you have negia or not. But to destroy a sefer Torah, maybe I'm paskining here because of my covered. I'll go down in the annals of history, every Yom Kippur, they'll take out the mazan, they'll mention my name. Maybe that's why I'm doing it. On his level, of course. But the Chanina ben Tradion's level, not our levels of what we go after for COVID. So on that, he turned around to Rabbi Yossi, he said, what schus do I have in Olam Haba? What schus do I have in Olam Haba? So Rabbi Yossi said, tell me a maisa that you did where there was no chance that you did it because of Negiyas. And that'll be Megalit to us what you're being prepared to give your life up for is. So he told him about a maisa. I had a maisa where I had a Nisayon. I had a Nisayon, I had this money for Tzadok, I had this money for Purim. No one would ever have known about it. I'm enough of a London, I'm enough of a Brisker, I could have come up with 50 Murray Hetters while it was mutter to actually take the money for myself. And no one would have known, I had no Negiyas, there was no cover, there was no nothing. And I did the right thing. So that's Megala, that everything I do is based on Kulu L'Shem Shemayim and not on negir nishi, and therefore it's magala that even this, which I'm prepared to give up my life, that I'm prepared to give up my life of kiddush Hashem, that itself is also bli negir. That's what was going on between them. And therefore, when they took him out to burn him, his daughter says to him. Amr la bitoy, Abba, don't this in Tati. Al echo babakach, that I have to see you like this. Amala. Even the woman knew how to say what needed to be said without saying long stories in those days. Two words was enough to describe exactly what she needed to say. So he said, Ilmali ani nisrafti levadi. If I was just burnt myself, hayadova kashan, it would have been difficult. Achshav shani nisraf v'sei the Torah v'imi. Now that I'm being burnt, and the Sefer Torah is being burnt with me. Mi shemavake shel boina shel Sefer Torah, hu yavake shel boini. May the one who's causing this terrible sacrilegious of the Sefer Torah, Hashem should pay him back. So they learned from their raya. That he held even then that what he done was right. It means even the burning of the Sefer Torah was right. Because he wasn't asking Hashem to punish himself. From the fact that he said, whoever desecrated this Torah, he should be the one that gets punished, he wasn't asking Hashem to punish himself. He says, it's hard for me to get burnt, and it's even harder for me to see the Sefer Torah being burnt, but I still hold that what I did was right. And the one who was desecrating the Sefer Torah, the Elboina, the one that caused this destruction, this desecration of the Sefer Torah, let him pay him back. So learns that from there you see that he held in the end, not like Rabbi Yossi, that he held, he stuck even in the dying moments where there's not too much room for negiras, even then he held that what he'd done was right. We'll see from this Gemara a couple of things. The first question I want to ask is where did Rabbi Hanani ben Tragin get this koyach to do what he did? I don't know if he stood at the Lag Ba'omer bonfire. Yeah, they make these big bonfires. You've got to stand about 40 meters away because they're so hot. Yeah? Imagine standing at the... Everyone know what I'm talking about? Big Lag Ba'omer bonfire, yeah? Hashem comes to you and says, I want you to do me a favor. Please jump in the fire. You ever done that? You ever stood at the Lag Ba'omer? I think that's probably the only reason why we make Lag Ba'omer bonfires. You can work out where you're holding in B'chol Nafshecha. There might be other reasons to do it with Shimon Ba'yucha, I'm not sure. But at least, b'chol nafshecha, you have an opportunity once a year to work out where you're holding. You ever thought about this? Well, I'm only in that case in the world. You thought about it this year? Yeah, you could jump into the fire. Not supposed to do some jumping to the fire, yeah? That's a little thing to say. Where does Klal Yisrael get this koyach? Where did Pinchas get the koyach? Where did Pinchas get the koyach to go and mamash masak in his life for something he believed was Torah? MS, where do we get the courage to give up our lives for MS? From Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first person who taught people how to swim against the stream. To rebel, the first great rebel in world history was Avraham Avinu. The entire world told him he's wrong. His father, his Rebbe, the whole world told him he was wrong. Ad Mesilas Nefesh, Ad Shemrimnot took him and threw him in the fires. And he held it. That was the right thing to do. You know that Noah held, why did Noah do it? Because Noah held that it was awesome. Noah held it was awesome. Rabbi Yossi, you're not allowed to give your life. You're not allowed to give your life for that. You said you're not allowed to just go ahead and commit suicide. V'chai b'hem. We live in the Torah, we don't kill ourselves. As I think the Maharal brings down that Avraham Avinu agreed with him up here, Locha, but he held he was honest. He couldn't. In the face of Sheker, in the face of Nimrod, at war against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's who they're at war against. They're not at war against us. They don't care about us. They're at war against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They realize that what brings the Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world is us learning Torah, so they're trying to get us to stop learning Torah. Their war's against Hashem, not against us. Amalek's war all the years has been with Hashem. Amalek doesn't care about the Jewish people that much. It's just the Jews happen to be Hashem's kinderlach. He can't get to the father, so you beat up the kids. But Avraham Avinu understood, he was honest, he had no choice. To carry on living like this, it's not a life. So he jumped into the fire. That was a mashrish into every one of us. Every one of the descendants of Avraham Avinu has this koyach, ad kedem esiris nefesh kapshuto. We talk it very often, not kipshutoi. We talk about the Mesiris Nefesh of Les Panasa, which is also Adkere Mesiris Nefesh, and we talk about the Mesiris Nefesh not going to work and not having all the luxuries that they have, and all the things that we so-called give up. That Mesiris Nefesh that we have, yeah, they're all out there having a good time, and they're having a fun time, and they got all the makshirim, and they got all the wonderful things and whatever, and look, they're the big Rishonim, and they've got all the money, and we're sitting here, and we're struggling and battling, whatever. So we say, yeah, today no one's asking us to die on Kiddush Hashem, but that's our death on Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, that's our big Nisoy, that's being Mesiris Nefesh. And it is, to a certain extent, it is. You open your fridge on Shabbos, and you see the lights on. Yeah, it's 42 degrees. And you can't close the fridge, and all the food's in the fridge. There's no Eruv, so you can't take it to the neighbors. And you've got visitors coming the next day for lunch. What do you do? There's no one there. No one will know if you just suddenly like take the globe out. That's Mesiris Nefesh, Kupshutai. The woman standing in front of the fridge, and she knows the food's going to get bad, and the visitors are coming. It's not just the visitors, the mother-in-law's coming the next day for lunch. And she's got no. You don't close that fridge door, you don't take out the globe. That's Mesiris Nefesh, Kupshutai. But there's something else here. If 6-year-olds 100 years ago would go into the fire rather than kiss a cross, yeah, so then you see, you don't have to go back that far to know that at Kedei Mesiris Nefesh Hayom. I want to tell you a story I heard, I don't even know about this, but I heard this from a Rosh Hashiv in Tifrach. That together, what's going on in the world, the news from a Rosh Hashiv of the Shiva Ketan in Tifrach, is apparently, I'm just telling you what I heard from him, that in the Iraqi war there was a journalist, an American journalist called Daniel Pearl. Oh, I'm a Nazi, you see. So you all could be Rosh Hashivist. His great grandfather, you didn't know this, lived in Bnei Brak.
He's a street named after him in Bnei Brak.
There's a street named after the great grandfather. Yeah. There's some pearls that live around here, I think they're also Mishpacha, whatever. The Pearl family is a well known family in Eretz Israel. Anyway, the grandfather went to America. Eventually, the great grandson was wiped from Yiddishkeit like you cannot imagine. An American journalist embedded with the American army in Iraq. And he got captured by terrorists. Cut to the story. He got mummies captured by terrorists, and they made a video. They made a video of this, and they sent it all over the world. Pure awesome what they were thinking, these guys. And they said to him, "It's the end for you, my boy. Either you convert to Islam, or we're going to behead you." Shrita Katruta. Shrita Katruta. So, they said, "The fry Jew, brought up in America in 2009, 8, 7, whatever it was. We're not talking about 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we're not even talking pre-war. We're talking about now, today, in the internet age. Yeah, this is being beamed live to the whole world." And he says, "Shema Yisrael, Kipshutoi," and they shafted him alive on the video, and they sent this video all over the world. So the concept of being Mesir Nefesh for a guy who was vital from Yiddishkeit, knew nothing about Judaism. That he said, Shema Yisrael, and thus today we see that it's still alive and it's still something that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to know about. Otherwise, why do I know about it? What does some Rosh Hashiva, you know, the last shtetl in the world, know about it? Because Mesiris Nefesh is something that's part of the Jewish makeup, and it's something that we have to be aware of. It's a Gemara. Why is it in the Gemara? Because we need to know how to deal with it. All the years, Klal Yisrael's history, we always had a very clearly defined enemy. It was a clearly defined enemy. It was the Bolsheviks, the Stalinists, the Nazis, the Inquisitionists, it was Amalek, it was always there was the Jewish people, and then there were the non-Jewish people. And they were the ones that used to come and kill us. Today things are not so clear. And we get very, very confused, and it's important to have clarity here. It's important to have clarity to know who you are and where you stand. And I'll tell you why it's important, because without this it's very hard to be Mekabel or Malchus Shemayim. And if you can't be Mekabel or Malchus Shemayim, then you're going nowhere. Nowhere. Kabbalah for Malchus Shemayim means, yes, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'adecha. Kepshuta. You have to be prepared to give it all up. For who? For Kodesh Baruch Hu, for Hashem, for Emes, for Torah. And we get very confused because we get lots of mixed messages, and we hear this, and we hear that, and we think this, and we think that. It's important to hear what Das Torah, what Gedolei Yisrael say about the subject. Because if you don't get clarity on what Gedolei HaTorah say on a certain subject, then you're not hearing the truth. You're not hearing what the Torah has to say about it. Yeah. So I referred the guy to Rebbe Chanan Siman Yud in the Kovas Haris in the back there. Rebbe Chanan has an essay. Once again, how literally Shagadol learns the Shtikel Agadita. In the back there, he has a whole column of Mamorim of how he was one of the first Gedolei that attacked Agadita using halachic ways of reasoning. in Siman Yud there, Rabbi Chanan discusses what's going to be in this world just before Mashiach comes. What it's going to look like in Eretz Yisrael, what the Jewish world's going to look like. Based much on the Chofetz Chaim, very much on the Chofetz Chaim, he quotes the Chofetz Chaim a lot. The Chofetz Chaim understanding of this era that we're living in now is almost prophetic. If you look at Rabbi Chanan's Ikfas in the Mashiach that he wrote when he was in America before the war, described the war in intricate detail, described what was going to happen to the Jewish people based on what he heard from the Chofetz Chaim in intricate detail before it happened. And Siman Yud there, he discusses what the world's going to look like. The Mefurish HaGoyin in the Mefurish HaGoyin, I don't remember where it is, he quotes it there.
In
Eben Shleimer, he quotes it there. Oh, you see, someone listens to me. I refer them. I've already been to look. Is like this. We get confused because we don't know who the enemy is today. We don't know who the enemy is today. I'm not talking about the Yishmaelim. I'm talking about God as Yishmael. That's pretty obvious. We'll deal with him now. The kud is this: is that very often you have people that are halachically Jewish, says the Chofetz Chaim, and yet they Sherish Hanasham is from the Erev Rav. The same way as you have a concept called a ger. What's a ger? The Chofetz Chaim says a ger is a Jewish neshama that, for whatever reason, got lost on the other side of the tracks, and now it's come back to live where it's supposed to be. This was a neshama that stood at Sinai for whatever reason. Hashem has its cheshbonos, whatever. This neshama had to be where it had to be, and now it's come back. He says, so too the goyish neshamas that got mixed up into Jewish bodies and into the Jewish world. That eventually one day we're going to have to go back to the other side of the tracks. But in the meantime, we know that all through Jewish history, from the coming out of Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav was what was schlepped Klal Yisrael down all along. Whether it was by the Meraglim, the Meraglim is also the Sugya, by the way. The Meraglim was a concept of Kerech Vayitzim Yodi. It was Kerech Vayitzim Yodi. We have to go check out the land, we have to see what's going on. Akkor Bochus is going to say, I'll take care of you. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha, he tells Yeshua also, send him a Meraglim, you have to make a certain little bit of Ishtadlis. But that's for you, that's not for... But the Meraglim said, no, we've got to go, we've got to check, no, they're too big, they've got too many tanks, they've got too... No, we can't win this war. There was the Meraglim, the Chet HaEgel was the Meraglim. All through Klal Yisrael's history, we've always been schlepped to the side by this Erev Rav. And it hasn't changed today, just we're confused about who's who in the zoo. But Rav Chaim said it was ready. Anybody who comes to stop people learning Torah, wants to destroy Torah, is coming to be Eker, the Yeshiva, the Kadosha. You have to know that that's where it's coming from. That's where it's coming from. And we have to be on guard against it. If we don't have Torah, and we don't have people learning Torah, not learning Torah, Amal b'Torah, Isek b'Torah, being Ma'ayin in Torah, we have no right to the land. Absolutely no right to the land. The Malach comes to Yeshua when Klal Yisrael is busy fighting a war to conquer the land. Who's the Malach that comes to Yeshua? The Malach is dressed as a warrior. Yeah, he's dressed as a fighter, holding a sword in his hand. And he's to Yeshua, you know, I've come now because of Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah, the Mefarshim explained, wasn't that Yeshua wasn't learning Chas V'Chalila. Yeshua was learning while he was in the middle of war. But he wasn't learning Be'iun. He just got off the battlefield. He was tired, so he was doing his daf yomi. He was chazirin shad, Be'iun, Be'kir. The Malach said, I've come now, so that's what it says. What did Yeshua do? Yeah, he went into the valley. I care where he went to learn Torah. I care if he went to the Beis Midrash, he went to the valley, he went to the top of a mountain. The unfortunately explained Rabbi Eliyahu ben Dan, he went into the Emek, he went into the depths of Torah. The Malach's taina to him was, is you're not learning Be'iyun. You're not understanding Torah properly. Who was the Malach? The Malach was the Malach of war. Who do you think is fighting this war to conquer Eretz Yisrael? You guys? Hashem's fighting this war for you. Where do I get my koyach to beat your enemies from? From the Torah you learn. You're not learning Torah tomorrow morning. I can't go out there and fight. That's what we're talking about. Our kim in this land, our staying in this land has nothing to do with another 3 kilometers of land or another aeroplane or another 50 tanks. Our kim in this land is the Torah Kadosh. Without the Torah Kadosh, we haven't got no kim. And what kept Klal Yisrael alive for 2,000 years in Golus was Torah. Everybody knows that it's poshut. Everyone understands that the kium we have today is because of that. And Rupert and Rupert, the people living in this country, know that and understand that as well. They know that as well. Speak to them, talk to them, they understand it very, very well. We have to know it. We have to be chazak. And I'll tell you why we have to be chazak. The haftarah we read after Tisha B'Av, assuming there will be a Tisha B'Av, Nachamu, Nachamu. So was that already asked, what's the double loshen? What's this careful loshen? Nachamu, Nachamu. In Eicher you find it a few times. Pachet, Bechadeti, Chatati, Chatati, I think it says. A lot of Mephoshim discuss what's the double lotion or whatever. So I might take a piece of Yaakov Naaman, Medache Musa. He wants to say Azapshat. Epshe can say Azapshat. We know Rav Yisrael Salant already said it, that when a yeshiva bochum, a chazak, he's learning. He stays in yeshiva one more day. He's trying to get out of the yeshiva, he can't. There's already 2 days left of Zaman, and it's already, he can't stay in yeshiva, and he already leaves. I saw bochum yesterday on Tiuli. Yeshiva bochum. But Juvrin on a Tiul. In the middle of the day. It's man. He told me, no, he can't, he's buying his money. But it's 9 days. So there's an enormous nisayon for yeshiva bocha today, not to be in yeshiva today or tomorrow. And a bocha stays another day, he stays another day, Mesidus Nesius Kepshute. You know what that does to some yid living in Paris? We also said already. A bocha in Letzem Achazak, he stayed our limit for a few minutes. Some guy starts keeping Shabbos in Paris. Yesterday somebody had a hero tshuva that he didn't have before, and he suddenly wakes up and he starts thinking about doing tshuva. I met a yid 20 years ago in Osamach that he came from. He was living in Beverly Hills. If you can think anything further away from a yeshiva, if you can get further away from a yeshiva than Beverly Hills, I don't know if it's shach, yeah? He woke up one day and started deciding to keep Shabbos. Eventually he made his way to Etzion and he learned in yeshiva, and today is a very well-known Choshev Rov. How did he get there? Where did he get that hero tshuva from? Because the day before, some bocha, well, we don't know this, I mean, if you go into Shaman, you see the connections, you know. Maybe Sassana told us, some bocha sitting there in Etzion learning with Machab that he said that day. Says Rabbi Yaakov Naaman, that's the kefal loshen. That's the double loshen. When we menachen ourselves, when we do what we're supposed to do, then the exact same hashpor goes out and impacts on the world. As the Romans saw, ten liyavne v'chachmeya, when the chachomim are learning in Yavne, suddenly Roman generals start converting to Yiddishkeit. When we do what we're supposed to be doing, then outside the world looks normal. Says the Dache Musa, if the goyim today can literally eat each other alive, when I saw this Dache Musa years ago, I don't know what he was talking about. People literally eat each other alive in this day and age. So when I was in Toronto a few months ago, I don't know if the news hit here, but it was headline news all over North America. Is some guy apparently, I think it was in your neck of the woods, it was in California somewhere. His neck of the woods, Florida. Doesn't matter, it wasn't in the neck, it was on the face. Some guy attacked a guy in the middle of the streets in broad daylight and started eating him alive.
It's hot, huh?
He was on heavy drugs. He was on heavy drugs for Saturday. It's an excuse. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. He was on heavy drugs. You're right, bad example. He was on heavy drugs and he ate somebody. He was eating somebody alive, Rabbi Yisrael. Mefurush the Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Naaman, if that can happen out there, it's because something's going wrong inside, yeah. Nachamu, nachamu. If we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing out here, then the mirror goes out there. This is where it happens. It doesn't happen out there. It doesn't happen out there. What turns the outer end of a wheel to move, okay, what causes it to move is the little ball bearings in the middle. That's us. That's us, the little ball bearings in the middle. If one looks at what's going on out there, it means we have to take serious stock about what's going on here. Let's take serious talk about what's going on here. What's asked from us today is Mesiras Nefesh Kepshuta. If there are people out there today who are prepared to kill themselves in order to hurt Yidden, and they are, if you hadn't heard about it, there are people out there today, yesterday, the day before yesterday, that are prepared to kill themselves in order to hurt Yidden, the koich where they get that from is because we're not using the koich of Mesiras Nefesh the way we're supposed to. In the same way, when the Yidden don't use their koich of Achdus, suddenly the Goyim get a koich of Achdus. Goyim don't have a koich of Achdus, says the Maharal. The definition of the Goyim is a Shivim Umois, a 70 nations. Klal Yisrael is Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Klal Yisrael has this Koyach of Achdus. When we don't use that Koyach of Achdus, you know what happens to it? It gets given to them. Suddenly they have a thing called the United Nations. Everybody gets together and they all agree on one thing. They don't agree on anything, but they all agree on one thing. Get the Jews. Yeah, they all agree on one thing. Where did they get that Koyach of Achdus from? From our lack of Achdus. Why don't we have an Achdus? Because we're not connected to Torah with Mesiras Nefesh Kepshuta. Now you'll tell me one second, I'm being Mesir Nefesh. Is there a group of guys anywhere in the world more Mesir Nefesh than this group? Than this Tzibu HaKodesh? Yeah, the Seder. So since we know what it is and we know what it tastes like, we have to mechazik it more. And it has to go out more and it has to impact more. It's got to be something that's felt and something that's palpable. We're being asked to be Mesir Nefesh. That's what the world's asking us to do. That's what Kosh Boch is asking us to do. He's been asking us to be Mesir Nefesh Kepshuta. That should never happen, and we should never have a nisayin like that. But we have nisayin like that every day. Every day we have these nisayin. What does a Kabbalah of Torah look like? I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to the guys that are eating for Torah 2 hours a day. How does these 2 hours look? I'm talking to the guys that are learning Torah Umanosva, whatever they're learning full time. Talking about people, whatever it is that your kim of Torah is supposed to look at, Kabbalah is supposed to look at, how does it look? You know, I once saw Michta from Revolvi. He wrote to a certain Talmud. He just showed me the one line. In that line it said, somebody who doesn't get Tisha B'Av right has very little hope of getting Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Sukkot right. The sheresh of getting Rosh Hashanah right, should be getting Elul right, is Tisha B'Av. What's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is wake up time. Tisha B'Av is the realization that what I do actually has an impact in the world. I'm just a little guy. I'm one little guy. There's 7.5 billion people in the world. What am I? I'm just a little nobody. I'm a nothing. Ever trying to go to sleep when a mosquito is bugging you? Yeah? Little things can be very effective. If you don't feel you're effective, then just grapple with a mosquito or not when you're trying to go to sleep. Even if you think you're little, which is not true. Narishka. Well, it causes to think you're little when you're a chelak of Elokim im av. But we do. We tend to settle for mediocrity. We settle for katness. No matter how great we think we are, we're still settling for katness. We don't realize how great we really could be, how much potential we have in us. The Kodesh Baruch will help us. Did you ever think a year ago you could finish Masech the Sukkah in a summer's man? Tomorrow we'll have 3 seals. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. At least one tomorrow we can rely on. The other two we'll have to see. I don't exactly know where they hold it, but that at least that I'm aware of, 3 people finished sukkah. Where the Talmud made a siyum sukkah in the end of summer's man a few years ago, and came back after Bainer's manim after sukkahs, okay, and learnt the whole of Mishnah sukkah bal peh, made another siyum. Yeah, when I first met him, he couldn't read a word of Hebrew. Now he's making siyumim on the Masechta and then learning the whole Mishnah bal peh. Where does it come from? That comes from not thinking I'm a cotton. That comes to thinking that if Hashem gave us a Torah, it's my Torah. Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe. I have to do something with it. I have to get going. I have to steig. You know, the only yeshiva that survived intact 100% of the Holocaust was the Mir yeshiva. Mir yeshiva. An atom bomb hit it in Mir, and it got flung via Vladivostok, Shanghai, New York, landed in Shkunat Beis Israel, intact, 100% intact. The Gedolei Yisrael explained, you know why? Because the Mir Yeshiva was built on one man's Mesiras Nefesh. There was a lot of people that tried to sit in Mesiras Nefesh, but one man, Reb Lezer Yudel, with all his Mesiras Nefesh, yeah? I'm not saying anything about the Ponovitcher Rose, Mesiras Nefesh, afterwards, what he went through to build Torah, that he had no schus in at all, so the son not no schus, no covered him. Built yeshiva after yeshiva after yeshiva that he had nothing to do with. But Rav Lezer Yudel supported yeshivas wherever he went. He wasn't running a yeshiva, he was running Torah. That Mesiras Nefesh dug so deep foundation that when the atom bomb hit it, didn't blow up the yeshiva, and the yeshiva bounced all across the world and landed up when the entire Europe was burning. The yeshiva of Mir survived intact and landed up in what's today called Mirville, yeah? Tzufil Mir, as they say in Brisk, yeah? That was only because of Mesiras Nefesh. If we want what we're doing to be Makayim, if we want what we're doing, and what we're doing is hard, and it takes a lot of Mesiras Nefesh, but if we want what we're doing to be Makayim at the Netzach, it can't be done without Mesiras Nefesh. There has to be this aspect of Mesiras Nefesh. That's the Nakuda that's being applied upon us. Where do you get the koach to be Mesiras Nefesh from? From our Rebbe. We all have a Rebbe. We have an Avraham Avinu Rebbe who's the Rebbe of this generation. And anybody trying to get through this generation without Avraham Avinu as his Rebbe, I'm telling you now, he's doomed to failure. If you don't have a good tfisa and a good understanding of who Avraham Avinu was and how he lived his life and the message that he gave over to his children, you have no chance, I'm telling you now. No chance. The Derech HaTeva. Hashem can do miracles. The Derech HaTeva, you can't survive. It's not possible. I'm out there a lot, I'm in there a lot, I see the struggles, I see the nisayness, I see what's going on in the yeshiva world, I see what's going on in the chiloni world, I see what's happening. If you don't have an understanding who Avraham Avinu was, if you don't understand what Avraham Avinu gave to this world, then you can never be Moisa Nefesh the way you have to be and the way it's supposed to be done. And then we lead mediocre lives. We lead lives, mediocre. I do what I can, I do my best, I'm doing my best, Rev, I'm doing my best, I promise you. So why are you using 2% of your brain power? Okay. Yeah. He's doing his best, but he's using 2% of his brain power. What about the other 98%? Yishkeferlas. He manages to crawl downstairs at 10 o'clock in the morning. He's doing his best. Yeah, he's doing his best. In the army, they let you get up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah? Whoever's makabal ol teira, they take off the oil of derech eretz. When circumcision is being attacked all over the world and being banned all over the world, we have to ask ourselves, what's going on? Where's the mysterious nefesh? What's going on when I bris my child? What am I thinking? That overseas in the rest of the world, they can start talking about banning circumcision. In the way we makabal teira, that's how much is ma'arvin olav ol malchus. And all derech eretz. If there's screams out there today, we need the yeshiva bochrim in the army or whatever, then there's something wrong with our Kabbalah's Ol Torah. We're being Makabal Ol Torah like a picnicker. We're not being Makabal Ol Torah like a soldier. Kol Bochru needs soldiers. Kol Bochru, how many of us are left? We're horribly outnumbered. Horribly outnumbered. And we always were. We always were. But the Kabbalah Satayra, to be a Kabbalah Satayra of understanding who we are, what our purpose in the world is, what our place in the world is, it requires an understanding of the history of who we are, of where we're standing, the sensitivity to who we are and where we're standing. You can't just blunt through life thinking everything you learned before is right, and I'm fine now, this is my place, and this is where I'm standing, and this is where I'm going, and everything's going to be fine. Shalom Alisra. This yeshiva was built, by the way, today is the yeshiva's 10th anniversary, just to finish it off. The 10th year of this yeshiva's existence, which is for me a big personal nachas, especially since the 10th year was the hardest year, the most impossibly difficult year, and the gashmis, and the ruchness. If you want to know why, you can see me later, I'll tell you. But it's enormous simcha. Yankov told me this morning, a finer mokum toira, this is enough for me. That's like a brisket telling you, yeah, he knows how to learn a bit. That's schwach godel, eh? Feiner Mokum Torah. That's what it is, the Feiner Mokum Torah. Ah, it's a bit small. Ma'at v'zach harbe, says the Chayvus HaLavavus. We've heard this many, many times. I've heard it many times from Uzelig, and I'm going to throw it back in your faces as well. If you have a little bit, but it's pure, the harbe, it's great. The opposite, if it's harbe, about the law zach, it's not pure, ein to elis ze klum. It's not 10% or 15% or 30%, ein ze to elis klum. There's no reason to even keep it going. No reason to keep it going. Tenli yavne v'chachmeya. That's all I want. Ma'at zach. If it's zach, if it's pure, if this building, when you walk into this environment, when you walk into the Beis Midrash, you walk into Or Avram, you know you walk into a Makom Kodesh, yeah, without the lachas, without anything, whatever you want, you've got your time, you've got your freedom, you've got your flexibility. I don't know if there's a yeshiva that has so many yeshivas within its walls. I don't know if there's one yeshiva that has so many different schedules and so many different people doing so many different things. It's a bit crazy, but whatever. So there are plenty of yeshivas that don't do that. You can go there if you want. But when you walk in, you have to know it's a zach. I've got to become zach. I have to be zach. The yeshiva has to be zach. The bocha walks in after he's been on the street. He walks into the building. He should feel like he's stepping into a mikveh. That has to be. That has to be. And that comes from each of us' attitude to this place. How do I relate to it? How do I look at it? What is my HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm able to be in a Makom Torah, that I'm able to learn Torah Kedosha, that I have shaychus to Torah, that I can understand a bit of Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me this enormous gift, it's gewaldic, enormous HaKadosh HaTov. No, I actually need the money. Oh, yes, yes. No, I've got it. It's been a long time since I've said this. Long overdue. What is it? Israel? I think Israel. Yeah, I need Israel. Is there Israel? Yeah, Rambam in Israel. Sorry, it's not Rambam in Israel. Yeah, I know. Well, because it only happens once every 7 years. Those of you who have heard this before, once or 40 times, and hearing it again, if Aaron Kotler could scream this out once a week in Lakewood, I can scream it out once a year. I used to bring it more often, but I've lost courage. Says the Rambam, the last halacha, second last halacha, halacha Yud Beis in the last perek of a Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, asks the Rambam, why didn't the Levim merit to have a portion in the land? So he says, "Mitnei shehuv del aved es Hashem l'shal sol hayres drachav ayisharim u'shvati atzadikim l'rabim." Because the Levim were set aside to serve Hashem and to teach Hashem straight ways and his nishpatim and to the masses. Shenema yeirem mishpatech le'Yakov, you will teach the manishpatim le'Yakov v'teiros chol Israel and matirish chol Israel. That's why the Levim don't have a chaylech. Lefi kachuv del umidar chayelam. And therefore they were taken out of the way of the normal way of life. Lo oichin milchama kishay Yisrael, they don't go to war like the rest of Klal Yisrael. Ve lo neichlin ve lo zeichin la'atzman b'koyach gufon. They don't go to work and they don't acquire anything for themselves with their own koyach. Elahem chayel Hashem. They are the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Rambam in Halacha, this is not a philosophy, so it's not a Sfas Emes. This is Rambam, yeah? Shenema Boruch Hashem Chayloi, Hashem will bless his soldiers. Vu Boruch Hu Zeichelehem, and of course Boruch Hu Zeichelehem, Shenema Ani Chelkecho V'Ananu Chasecho, Hashem will be their portion. It means there's a musag in the world of being able to take yourself out of the normal flow of the world, which we learned from Avraham how to do that. We know how to swim against the stream. They break the rules, even though it's not sustainable. You know how often you hear that? Come with me on one fundraising trip and you will hear, if you have 6 meetings a day, you'll hear it 12 times. It's not sustainable, the yeshiva world anymore. The voice out was never sustainable. It was never sustainable. Never been sustainable, never will be sustainable without this piece of Rambam. It's not sustained by the Koichadoi Chimyadi. It's not sustained with their money. It's not sustained with their chokhman, their godless on how to run a yeshiva. That's not what keeps us going. It's because we are a portion of a Kosboch, and a Kosboch takes care of us in his miraculous way. So you'll tell me that's all very nice. Why are you telling me this? How many Levim in this room? 2. What about everybody else? It's a problem for the non-Levim, right? So bad news for the non-Levim as well. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad. Not only Shevet Levi, listen carefully, the Moed Kalosha. Ela kol ish ve'ish. Every ish ve'ish, everybody in this room. Mikol boy olam, from wherever he's coming, whether he's a Rosh Hashiva's son, whether he's a Tzaddik's daughter, whether he's a Balabos, whether he's a Balchuba, whether he's a Ger, whether he's a Tzaddik Yosod olam, doesn't matter, wherever he's holding. Asher nedover ruchoy oisa. His spirit is aroused, let's say. V'havinu medaito, and he understands from his own das. Lehavdil lamoid lifnei Hashem, to separate himself and to come stand in front of Hashem. The shalso lehavdoi, to serve him and to serve him. Ledeya es Hashem, and to come to know Hashem. He's interested in understanding and knowing Hashem. How could you not spend most of your day to understand Hashem when you understand who Hashem is? The holoch yosha, he has to be holoch yosha, going to be straight. Kamosha osu elakim the parak mal tzavarov. Hashem will remove from him the oil. Hacheshboines harabim asher bikshu bnei adam. All these multiple cheshboines that people make, the sustainability checks, Hashem will remove all of that from the yoke, from his shoulders. Harei ze nitzkadesh kodesh kadoshim v'yeh Hashem chelkoi v'nachalosoi lo'ilam lo'im lo'ilamim v'yizkoi lo'v alam hazeh dova mastik lo'i. In alam hazeh you always have enough for what he needs. Kamo shezochel l'koinim levim, etc., etc., etc. Ad kan, the doctor. Rama was a doctor. The Rambam who wrote this went out and worked. No one's saying you don't have to work. No one's saying you don't have to make your shtadlus. I'm not talking about that. In your work, you have to be kadosh and shemayim like a lady as well. I'm not saying that. When you go to work, you have to know you're going to work because you're a lady. Because wherever you are, you have to be kadosh and shemayim. You have to be kadosh and shemayim. Someone tells me the other day, he went to the doctor, and there's a doctor guy sitting there learning Gemara. Like, lifts up his head. It's not about Talmidim, Boch Hashem. He's sitting there learning Torah in the Merpa. There's a Kiddush Hashem there. And not only that, but when you go to the dentist and the dentist treats you nicely and he speaks to you becovered and he treats you the way he's supposed to treat you, and afterwards he says, Hashem, you know, whatever. Ana Hashem Hashiano. I once went to the dentist and before he started drilling me, he said, Ana Hashem Hashiano. It's like, oh, this guy can relax. That's the dentist understands, not him. Go to the doctor says, listen, you know, you're in Hashem's hands, I'll do the best I can. Oh, that's the Kiddush Hashem. So there's nothing meaning in the best midrash. Wherever we go, we have to know who we are. We're the Chayil Hashem. It requires you to understand that. It requires you to put a little work into that. But we're the Chayil Hashem. We're the elite. How many times do I have to say it before it goes into your head? You're the elite of the elite. In the grocery world, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the equivalent is. The crack troops, the presidential private bodyguard. That's who we are. How many yidden are left in this world who understand Machov Asa Ba'olam? Forget about the chilonim. Forget about them out there. Talk about your next door neighbor. How many people understand today properly Machov Asa Ba'olam? We have an opportunity to be in the Beis Midrash, in the Dalet Amos, the El Shalalocha, in the Kosh Boch, and into the Dalet El Shalalocha. We have an opportunity to be over the Kosh Boch guarding us and driving us. As Asrei Chelkei. And from this Yavna, from this Teli Yavna v'Chachmeya, from this will strut forth, will build and grow and develop an entire new existence, an entire new generation. Already as a result of this yeshiva, people are learning yeshiva katanas they could never have dreamed of learning. Their kids are learning in chadorim they could never have learned, could dreamed of learning. They're building homes they could never have dreamed of building. Nobody knows. Everyone knows what he looked like when he came to the yeshiva 10 years ago, and 10 years ago, and 11 years ago, and 8 years ago, and 6 years ago. They know. Never had a mussar that his son could learn in the best yeshiva katanas. And today, Baruch Hashem, we see it. An entire new generation is being built on the foundations and the service of Kedosha, of Torah Kedosha. And that's our schus, and that's our responsibility to make sure that with Mesiras Nefesh, this goes forward. We should be zeicher. There's a lot more to be said here. Maybe there's a siyum tomorrow. Maybe I'll. We'll have more people tomorrow at the siyum because there's meat. Don't tell anybody that's not here that I'm going to speak tomorrow. Okay? Otherwise, I won't even come for the meat. Not for the meat, you can only get people to come. Yeah, we made a bra the other day for the South Africans. We found more South Africans that didn't know they existed, let alone we knew. They knew they're South Africans. They didn't know they existed. Okay, suddenly they heard there's meat. Whoa! We mamash need a lot of siyata dishmaya. We need a lot of siyata dishmaya to go forward, to continue building, to have the schuz, to continue doing what we're doing. And we can't take it for granted. It's under attack. Mihabet stodim. And we have to fight back. Roshana told me the other day, you've got to fight back. They're going to destroy it. The Yei Torah understands this is the last fight, and the last fight's going to be against Torah. You've got to fight back. How do we fight back? Like the Prophet Chaim said, you light another candle. You walk into a room and it's full of darkness. What do? Beat the darkness away. You light another candle. You learn another Daf Gemara, and you learn another Mishnah, and you help another person who can't understand Torah. You help him understand the Shtikul Rashi. Lighting candles, that brings light into the world, and that light impacts on the entire world. As the Romans learnt, the Teli Yavne v'Chachmeya is the biggest tool we have, is the biggest kli we have, and the truth is it's the only one we have. And if we have that, we have everything. And if we lose that, we lose the Kedusha of Torah, we lose the Kedusha of the Yeshivas of the Chadorim, we let anything slip that's not Torah's HaKadosha into our institutions, then we're in a lot of trouble. Because Baruch Hu give us the strength to say to Yishmael, we should continue. Through the Bainas Manim, the Nisayin of the Bainas Manim should also be used for an aliyah. We should have a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, and we should see the Gula Shleimer and Harib Ameh.